How you doing, homeschool mama? Do your kids and maybe even you have some spring fever going on? Have you been in the deep trenches with your homeschool co-op and are just ready to be done with this year? Raise your hand. My hand is raised. And are you already anticipating next year? Sweat on the brow. Because it seems like the planning and registering and the need to know what next year is going to look like comes earlier and earlier each year, but you still our homeschool mom, you still have to finish this year. You have to test your kids and plan for summer and start your garden and all the things that just make you want to like lay down and give up. What's a homeschooling mom going to do to survive? Today, we hope to take a minute to just slow it down, take a deep breath, and focus on the word so we can have a successful, sustainable end of the year plan. Welcome to Lead Your Homeschool Co-op. Do you desire a Christian community with families that fit? Do you find yourself up late at night Googling conflict resolution and how to build a community? Do you dream of a sustainable homeschool group only to feel discouraged when policies fail, logistics get in the way, or a conflict comes up again?
Hello! We are the Homeschool Community Builders. Together, we have more than 30 years of experience in leading successful homeschool groups. But at one time, we too were in co-ops that did not work for our families. We needed deep relationships and a community that would help our families grow in faith. In order to be a part of a sustainable Christian community, we stepped out in faith and trusted God's plan to build the community that we desired.
In this podcast, we will help you create Christ-centered policies, establish a close-knit culture, and develop strong leadership skills so that you can serve your community well. So grab a pen and paper, be ready to take some notes, and be encouraged. You can do this.
Before we start today's topic, we want to invite you to join our wonderful Facebook community. We have a great group of homeschool leaders over there. It's a place that you can ask your questions, get support, and learn from one another. In fact, we'll be having our live Q&A on the last Friday of the month at 2 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and we would love to have you join us. You can either post your questions beforehand and we'll answer them live, or you can just join us live and get answers to your specific questions about your homeschool community. Do you need ideas on how to plan for next year or how to deal with a conflict going on in your group? Need help with scheduling? Bring all your questions. We look forward to seeing you over there. You can join us at Lead Your Homeschool Co-op, and there is always a link in the show notes to make it easy.
Well, I don't know about you ladies, but I am definitely in the throes of spring fever in spite of the snow that's falling outside of our window. But up to this point, the weather's been so nice and I want to be outside and dig in my garden. And I just like forget that we have school to do and we have all these projects and, you know, we're looking forward to the end of the year. But this time of year is so stretching because we want to finish up well, and yet we need to start planning. We're forced to look forward to next year. There's just so much to do and it can become so overwhelming. And for me, it makes me just want to put my head in the sand and shut down. Or some, it can make people anxious or worried, not able to focus. So today we want to talk about what can we do to help. The first thing that we want to say is when you're feeling overwhelmed, anxious, worried, and just don't know what to do, is just to pause. We have to slow down enough to hear from the Lord, and He is going to help us in those times when we need help. And when we get frantic and we don't pause, if we are trying to operate in our own strength, we are in our own minds, and we need to have our minds renewed by the word and be able to focus on what's really important. I don't know about you guys, but I tend to just kind of go, 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 do in the spirit of Martha instead of choosing what's best and to sit at the feet of the Lord and get His priorities so that my day can be ordered in the way that he would have it to go.
There's a lot of pressure to check off the list of things to do that gets longer by the day. But what is our priority? Our priority should be in seeking the Lord first, not just doing that with any leftovers at the end of the day when we're falling into bed.
Yeah, we really need to remember that taking the time to sit and pray at the beginning of the day is actually a time-saving measure. Every time that I do that, it just seems that my whole mindset for the day is better. I can be very scattered. I can be going from this to that and the other thing. And because there's so many things to do, just get lost in all the details. But when I have my priority set, because I've asked God, okay, what do I need to do today? Or what's the most important thing? He will bring to mind those things that are really important. And then I can let go of some of the other things that are not so important, but still stress us out, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The beautiful thing about it is that it gives you emotional fuel that you can use throughout the rest of your day, not just in that moment. You know, you can sit down and be in the Word and then walk away and your life can fall apart in a half an hour. And also is to just, the pause is so great because it just reminds you, like, I can get just so focused on all of the tasks that that's all I want to do is go from one task to the next task to the next task. And it's like, I've lived a lot of my life with the mindset of put your big girl panties on and push through, which is not the best way to focus on your life. You just can't. Eventually you're going to burn out, and you're going to burn out on your family and on your husband and just destroy relationships. And why? Doing stupid stuff that is important, but not worth your relationships. And right. I always just kind of, the thing that I always think is, okay, nobody's going to die. Nobody's going to die if I don't get this done, this letter written, this thing, you know, whatever's on my list. Keep it in perspective. Pause.
Right. And in that pause, you can remember that you're not alone in what you are accomplishing, that your Heavenly Father is there with you, and that what we're doing is ultimately for Him, being reassured each day that He's with you. And if you don't do all the things, you're still going to be okay. It just brings peace, and that peace can settle your mind so that you can do the next right thing, which is kind of the next thing, right? Once you have paused, you have time and mindset to ask, what is the next right thing that I am supposed to do? So when I am scattered and anxious or overwhelmed, I like to remember we can only do one thing at a time. We actually increase our stress if we try to multitask. And if we get caught in the lie that we can increase our productivity when we're multitasking, then we actually become less efficient. I was just reading a study about multitasking. And when you're working on a single task, you can use both sides of your brain to do the one task, which you can then become very efficient in that task. If you're trying to multitask, you force one side of your brain, the left side, to work on one task, the right side to work on another task, and neither one gets done very well. I think that that's really important to remember. One thing at a time, and just keep doing that the next thing.
And I would even say, so as the director, I'm trying to finish out this year while also make plans for next year. So there's some juggling there. But then realizing it's okay to put things for next year on the back burner, truly, until this year is done. Mm-hmm. So those family interviews, you know, those families are excited. They want to apply. They want to register. And I just have to say, I am too busy right now. I can connect with you to do that interview in the middle of May when this school year is complete. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not ignoring them. They're aware of the why behind that. But instead of trying to do it all right now, is what's the priority? Well, the priority is to finish this year well, which right. means I have to be mindful of how thinly I spread myself and my attention, that this is what's important right now, and that will be important at its right time, which is not right now.
Yep. Well, and in order to do that, you have to lay out your plan, right? And that's one of the strategies to doing the next thing. It's knowing ahead of time what those things are that you need to do. I have been this year working on time blocking for myself, figuring out during the morning, this is what I do. And during the afternoon, this is what I do. And I lay out a plan for the week before. And that allows me to get things out of my mind on paper so I don't have to worry about missing something. And like you said, it helps you to prioritize and do what really matters.
And it brings you peace when you have that plan, because then you're not using the brain cells that you need to focus on whatever the task is to try and figure out what you're doing next. Because I like to do the time blocking too. And lately I haven't been doing that. And I end up trying to use both parts of my brain. So all the brain cells are being overworked and they're not working at all, because then I end up just finding myself watching videos of my kids.
Well,
and then I'm like, what am I doing? I have so much to do. But then there's this cute video that pops up that, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And not only do I do that, and then send it to my friend, and then I say, look at this cute video. So now I'm distracting not only myself, I'm distracting my friends too, because misery loves company. That's so take that 30 minutes, the beginning of your week, and at least get those big rocks down and get them planned in your schedule so that you can do that. Thanks for the reminder, Molly, because I have not been doing that, and I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off right now.
Well, literally, like, right, if you spend 30 minutes to an hour planning, for me, it saves me hours of wandering aimlessly and not knowing what to do next. Oh, I know I have so many things to do, but what am I supposed to be doing right now? And so distractible. But if I will sit down at the beginning of the week and say, these are what I'm going to do, and then I go to my planner on that day and I look and I see what needs to be done. Okay, I know if I just follow the plan, I'm going to be okay. And I don't have to make decisions every minute about what I need to be doing. The planning ahead is huge.
Like decisions on, should I watch this video of my kid or should I watch that video of my kids? Or should I watch a video about somebody else's kids?
Like, you're making a graduation video, right?
Yeah. And that, so people out there, there's 8 graduates this year and there's just so many things going on. Molly has a high school trip coming up next weekend. We've got high school trips coming up. So the fact that you are even listening to this podcast right now, thank you so much, because we know that your life is so full right now. And you guys are on that third lap of the mile where you're just like panting and wishing it was done. And so thanks for joining us and listening. We just hope this is a blessing to you, that you know that you're not alone, that we're all doing the same thing with you. And if you're a leader, then it's just double for you, because you know that it's different in the summer for you than other people who are just planning their vacations and stuff, because you're planning next year and you're planning your vacations and you're doing everything else on top of that. So hang in there.
Yeah.
We're here with you. And that's why we're reminding ourselves just as much as we're reminding you these things. So the next one is to be thankful.
Yes.
Rejoice in the harvest. Gratitude activates peace. And so if you can just take moments throughout your day, or even recognizing when you're feeling stressed or feeling wound up or bound up, is to just take a moment. Let that be your cue for gratitude. I have this great gift that a friend of mine gave me. It's this little jar, and I keep it on my island. And then it comes with this little pamphlet that has all these little pieces of paper that says, today I'm grateful for. And having that right out there in the middle just really is a good reminder to be grateful. And there's just so many things to be grateful for.
Yep. And I think if we pause and kind of align ourselves with the Lord, we can stop and think about those things. We can see what He has done. If we forget to stop and remember the things that He has done, it's easy to lose heart. But the scripture says, let's not become weary of doing good. If you look back on your year as we're approaching the end, you will see all the things that God has done. And they're there if you look. We forget, right? We forget all the little things that have happened along the way. But let's count those blessings. Let's make a gratitude list. There's that old song. Do you know the song? Count your blessings, name them one by one. It's a little song that I used to sing. My mom used to sing to me when I was a kid. But I always think of that, you know, count your blessings.
I think that you should keep singing that. I just like to hear you sing, Mom.
But it goes, count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. And when we do that, wow, we really can be thankful. Okay, another study that I was reading, I'm helping all these kids with their senior thesis. And so I've been reading these studies and stuff. But another one that I was reading was about gratitude and journaling and how keeping a gratitude journal or doing some kind of a positive affirmation or any number of sort of positive mindset things. And this was done with a group of professional workers. But within a few months, their lives had really changed. There was significant increases in their productivity. There was lower stress. They had higher engagement, which was all the things that we need right now, right? We need good productivity. We need lower stress. We need engagement within our lives. And all of that happened because they practiced gratitude for a few minutes a day. It's pretty remarkable.
Well, and so, I would say when you focus on gratitude at a time when we typically are weary, it reminds us why we're doing this. When we look mm-hmm. back and see all the ways that God has worked through our community and provided for us and the kids that have been impacted, we are then encouraged to keep going because of the important work that we're doing.
And because of that, one of the things that we would recommend is to make sure that you celebrate with your co-op. That this is part of that process. The end of the year celebration, in my mind, is very important for this reason, that you give families a chance to reflect, to thank God, to be together, rather than just disperse at the end of the year. It's a time to really kind of wrap it up and set your mind and rejoice in the harvest. There's so much to rejoice for. And it doesn't have to be fancy, but some kind of a get together that allows you to celebrate what has happened in your community that year.
One of the things that I love to do at the end of the year, we do it, it's a tradition at our co-op, is that we have a slideshow and we watch that, all of us together. It's usually about 20 minutes. And it just reminds you of all of the amazing things that you've done for the year.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, you've done so much. And it's just to have it all and to see it all in one fell swoop, it's such a great way to do what you're saying, Molly, to celebrate with your co-op. But also, we always do a teacher appreciation the last day of school. And this year, a couple of students put it all together. So that's going to be fun to see how they create some little goodie bags for the teachers and talk about their appreciation of them. And then just acknowledging people, like acknowledging people who you have people in your co-op or you will have people in your co-op who will go above and beyond and who will serve your co-op in a way that is more than other people. And it's just so fun to be able to acknowledge them and their efforts, or even students or memorization, you know, Bible memorization, whatever you have going on. It's just a super fun way to end your year on a good note. And man, I can tell you, last year was a tough year for me. So being able to have these things to fall back on, you might not be ending your year in a super relaxed state, or maybe you've had conflict or something going on. I just want to encourage you to just keep going. There will always be times when you'll feel like throwing in the towel, but just keep going. It's a season. You'll get through it. You'll have people. You have us. We are praying for you and your communities. And just know that you're not alone in what you're doing. And as a leader, sometimes it can feel quite lonely. Celebrate, to have gratitude for the things that you can see. And even remember that those trials that you're going through are God's way of equipping you. Even be grateful for the trials, knowing that He is going to help you persevere through them. He's going to draw you closer into Him, and He's going to teach you and equip you for even more things that He has that He wants to bless you with down the road.
If we recap, and if this is a hard time of year for you, our encouragement to you is, when you are weary or heavy laden, don't give up. First, pause, sit with God and listen to Him. Ask Him, what is the next right thing for me to do? Be willing to let go of things that aren't necessary, and then be thankful. Count your blessings. Celebrate what God has done for you this year. Remember the things that He has done. He will be by your side, and He will do more than you could think or ask, because He wants to bless you and you are doing good work.
I want to share something with you that I was learning today in Revelation, and I'm not sure if this comes from Revelation, but I was watching a sermon today, and it was talking about that there's books. So at the end of times, there will be judgment, and then there will be several different kinds of books. And one of the books is called the Book of Remembrance. And at least the sermon led to this fact that God records our tears. He records our suffering. And it just made me so have gratitude in that moment to know that the God who created the universe, the God who we should be crawling on our hands and knees and begging to be in communion with Him, that He actually seeks us out. He's actually faithful to us and is recording our tears. He doesn't need to record our tears. He doesn't need to record our sufferings. He remembers our sufferings, right? He's omnipotent. He knows everything, but He does it for our sake so that we would know how much He loves us. And so if you're going through a hard time and you're shedding some tears, know that you are not alone, that God is recording those tears. He's not only with you, like He's recording your suffering, and he's walking alongside you in that suffering. And that is something to be grateful for.
Maybe we should do an episode one of these days on all the things to be thankful for. It's just so good to remember. Before we go, we would love to offer help with planning for the next year for your co-op. Are you starting and you don't know where to begin? We have been there, and we're available for one-on-one, or actually one-on-three coaching to help you create the sustainable Christ-centered co-op that you're dreaming of. So if you would love that, sign up for coaching in the link in the show notes, and then join us in our Facebook community at Lead Your Homeschool Co-op, and let's work together to keep doing the next right thing.
We leave you with two verses today. Galatians 6, 8 through 9 says, "A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And Matthew 11, 28 through 30. "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Hey friend, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with someone who may benefit from it? Or leave us a 5-star written review in Apple Podcasts. It blesses our socks off to know how this podcast is helping you. Also, make sure to connect with us on the Lead Your Homeschool Co-op Facebook page and join the conversation. We'll see you back here next time.